Okay, so picking up in Beitza. Back to Beitza. What are we up to? We're going to skip now. Right? To Dalet Amud Aleph. We're going to skip the sugya in the middle with the Davar Sheishu Matirin. We did that already last year. I'm not in the mood to do it again. Okay, so basically the Gemara still has the three possibilities, right? We have Rabba for the Mishnah. Rabba, who learns, it's an idea of Hachana. We have Rav Nachman, who holds it was an idea of Muktzah, right? He was the first sheet, actually, Rav Nachman. And then you have the last two of... is it a Gzeira, Rav Yosef, who says the Gzeira of Peros Anoshim, right? And which is the last one? And Rav Yitzchak, right? And Rav Yitzchak, who says it's Mashkin Shazal. Right. Okay? So you have the four answers to the Mishnah. All right, so the Gemara is still trying to prove which one is right. Okay, all right, so we're skipping some of this, the Shaka Vatari over here, of the kashas on the different sheetas. We're going to pick it back up on Dalet Amud Aleph at the bottom. All right. Got it? Where are we up to here?
Itmar.
All right, who wants to read today? Go ahead.
Itmar, Shabbos v'Yom Tov, Rav Amar, Nolda b'zeh Asur b'zeh. Rav Yochanan Amar, Nolda b'zeh Muteres b'zeh.
Okay, so you have Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, Rashi.
Shabbos v'Yom Tov, Hasmuchin.
Right. So it doesn't matter which, the order is not important. The main thing is that you have the two yomim back to back. Shabbos and Yom Tov, or Yom Tov and Shabbos. Okay. So what does the Braisa say? An egg that was born on one is a surah on the other. Okay, go ahead. Oh, one second, I'm confused. Sorry. Wait, so Rav says what? Rav says it's a surah, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's muteris. Okay, fine. So, let's say that what? Yeah, so the question is, why would it be usur on the other day? It was born on Shabbos, why should it be usur in Yom Tov? Yeah. So go ahead. So the Gemara wants to say that maybe you'll say. Right. Did we do any of that, Gemara, ever? No, right? Okay. But there's an open statement in Erevin that Rav holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah, I think we discussed the case. We discussed the case in the Mishnah. Right. The case in the Mishnah is, person wants to make he has a yontif and then a Shabbos. Let's say it's yontif Shabbos, yontif followed by a Shabbos. Okay. So the person wants to have an era of tchumen for yontif, and a different era of tchumen for Shabbos. Right. Remember we discussed in this case. So the question is, can you set up one era of for an Erev Yontif on the east side of your Tchum, right? On the east, and then for Shabbos, position another Erev on the west, right? So that way he'll be able to switch his Tchum, his Shvisa from Shabbos from Yontif to Shabbos, right? Chaim? Okay, so the Gemara says, Mish says that's a question of whether Shabbos and Yom Tov are Shtei Kedushas or one Kedusha. If it's Kedusha Achas, So then whatever your Shvisa is when Yantav starts, that's going to be your Shvisa through Shabbos too. But if it's two Kedushos, if it's Shtei Kedushos, so then it'll, you're free to switch your Shvisa to from Shabbos to Yantav. I get into technical problems of Hachana, how exactly to do it. How can you on Yantav do something to be Meichem for Shabbos? But the Gemara works out that problem. So over there in Erevin, that's what the Gemara says, that that Rav held that it's two Kedushos. Rav held two
Kedushos. Exactly, is the Kedusha of Shabbos the same as the Kedusha of Yom Tov?
Yeah, what exactly is the question? It's a good question. What is Rashi? Kedusha Achasi?
Kedusha Achasi. Hari Heim Ki Yom Echad Aruch.
They're like one long day. You ever have that feeling? It's like one long day. But obviously, it's not really one long day. I mean, nobody says one long day. You make a separate kiddush for Shabbos. It's not Shabbos when Yantav starts. Doesn't stay Yantav when Shabbos starts, right?
Different halachos.
That's why it's like one long day. So what does it mean? It's like one long day. I mean, that's a good question. It's interesting. Over there, the Gemara says about the Mishnah. And even the Rabbanan who say Kedusha Achas, they don't say it Vaday. They machmir both ways. But what does it mean Kedusha Achas? Yeah, so I heard you guys have privy to some information on this, are you? What?
They're both not whole.
Okay. But well, let's just say pshat wise, just plain pshat. What does it mean Kedusha Achas? Just what are the implications of saying Kedusha Achas? Descriptively, what are the implications of Kedusha Achas?
It's also the first day.
That's correct. In other words, all of the identities that come from Hachana, right? All of the identities that come from Erev Yontif or Erev Shabbos. That are chal on the first day are gonna carry through to the second day as well. So in other words, it'll be a nafkamina in terms of like your shvisa. The Meiri explains it's not everything. It's only on certain kinds of things, like things that have to do with the designations. So if something is designated for something has a certain kvias for the first day, that'll be the kvias. There's no recalibration. Whatever identities were set in the beginning of the first day, will carry through till the end of the second day. So in terms of mukta, in terms of shvisa, in terms of your makom shvisa, those kinds of things. That's what we mean. It's going to be like a yom arichta. In terms of those things, meaning you don't say that there's a new. That there's a new haschala to be koveya identities again.
You're looking at it as one whole unit.
You look at it as one unit of shvisa, right? Certain unit of shvisa. You have to be meichin for the whole unit now. All your hachanas have to apply to the whole unit, and your makom is for the one unit. That's the plain shot. Okay. Just descriptively. So therefore. You have to understand the backdrop of what's going on over here. What is motivating the Gemara to say Kedusha Achas? Why would Kedusha Achas be good? What's the idea of Kedusha Achas? Because the Shitas, namely Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef, right, they're only going to work out if you hold the Kedusha Achas. In other words, you learn a that the Isser of a Beitza is because of a Gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu, right, or Paris Anoshrin, right? So the only Isser of Mashkin Shazavu and Paris Anoshrin is for Bo Bayom. It's only for the day that they were Zavon, or the day that it was, that it fell, right? Because otherwise you'd never be able to have any fruits or any drinks. Because they always came out at some point, right? So the gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu and Paris and Ocean is only for the ones that fell on that day, because they entered the Yom not in that state, right? And that state was created on that day. So then for them, the only way it's going to make sense to say it's going to be Usur on the second day is if you hold Kedusha Achas. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem.
Well, how do you know they're even on this question?
Well, I don't know if it's exactly on the, I don't know if it's exactly on this question, but I'm not sure if it's a question against them, you mean?
I mean, how do you know they're certainly related at all to them?
Because we want to know the time of the Beitza. Because they're all arguing on the reasoning of the Beitza.
I thought this was a separate question, just Shabbos v'Yom Tov.
But if you learn the reason of the Beitza being Usur is because of Gzeira, of Mashin Shazavu and Peyos Anoshin, then it should be mutter from one day to the next. No?
Yeah.
Right. So for them, it would have to be Kedusha Achas. There's no other way to work out this to work out the statement of Rav to say that they're Usur, unless it's Kedusha Achas.
Oh, you already know that they possibly grow.
Rav is prior to them. It's also should be mutter, right? All of those sheetahs is not going to work out according to the statement of Rav, right? Unless they could do shachas. So at least you'll see from here that Rav does not hold. Let's put it this way: at least you can see from here that Rav does not hold any of those tamim. Let's put it that way.
Right. The answer is talking about another Rav.
Well, that's right. That's how it gets into it. No, we're trying to figure out. Let's put this. Maybe I phrased it wrong. We're trying to determine what Rav's sheita is. How does Rav hold about the? How does Rav weigh in on the Beitza issue? Right. So we can see from here that first question is: does he hold? He says it's going to be Usur on both days. So if he holds Kedusha Achas, then you really can't tell. Right. If he holds Kedusha Achas, you can't tell. Right, because it could be this. It could be muksa. It could be mashkin shazavu. It could be peros and ocean. Right, but we know that Rav does not hold from kedusha achas. Correct. So then, why should it be usur? So if it's not kedusha achas, it can't be any of those reasons. Can't be muksa. Can't be peros and can't be mashkin. Right. So it must be hachana de rabba. Right? That's what the Gemara is eliminating for Rav, all the other possibilities except for Achana D'Rav. So now you have Machlokas, the Rav holds from Achana D'Rav and Rabbi Yochanan doesn't. We already know Rabbi Yochanan doesn't. Right? Because Rabbi Yochanan held like a Mashkin Shazavu. Right? Okay, go ahead. Right. Okay, so how is this case Achana de Rabba? Right, we went through this already once. How is this case Achana de Rabba? It's not really Achana de Rabba. That's the problem. It's not a true case of Achana de Rabba, because this Beitza was born on Yontif, the first day of the two days. So it was really Nigmara when? From Chol. Right? It was really Nigmara from Chol. So why should it be Usur on Shabbos? Why should it be Usur on Shabbos? This is like a review midterm final. All rolled into one. What? The Leida is also a type of Achana.
I thought it was saying this because I thought the reasoning is of Achana Rabba is from the Gzeir Sakasu, and that reasoning would apply here as well.
Well, let me ask you a more simple question then. Let's say you had an egg that was born on a Stam Yontif. Right? Is it Usur?
If you hold
by Achana
Rabba.
No. It should not be, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now we're getting somewhere. So in other words, in terms of the Daraisa, a Beitza that's nulled on Yom Tov, that does not follow Shabbos, is Mutaris, right? Because its Achana was from Chol, right? Its Achana was from Chol. So over here, this Beitza was nulled on the first day of Yom Tov, right? So really, Midaraisa, it shouldn't be a problem. You should be able to eat that Beitza today, right? And if you can eat it today, then what? Then you should definitely be able to eat it tomorrow, right? Okay. So what's the problem over here? Why is it a problem of Achana de Rab over here? Go ahead. You two guys together, I think, have it.
Part of the Achana is happening on Yom Tov itself.
Because this bait, so this was the answer of the Rashba, I believe, right? I believe this was the answer of the Rashba. What I'm about to say, that the Beitza is Asur Midrabanan on Yom Tov, right? The Beitza that's nulled on the first day of Yom Tov is Asur Midrabanan, correct? Why Atu Yom Tov Shachar Shabbos, correct? So now it comes out that the Leida on Yom Tov has no benefit for Yom Tov. Right? So then it turns out that if we allow you to eat it on Shabbos, it comes out that there was something done on Yom Tov that what? That only benefits Shabbos. That's Achana. So it's only a combination, it's only once we have the Gzera Midrabanan of not having the Beitza on a Stam Yom Tov, does this turn into a Achana Derabah situation.
Why is there a benefit on Yom Tov?
Because it's Asur Midrabanan to eat it on Yom Tov. So now we can't call that Beitza, we can't say that the Leida on Yom Tov had any benefit for Yom Tov. So now, what's it a Maisa of? If we allow you to eat it on Shabbos, it'll turn out it's a Maisa for Shabbos. That was Nasas B'Yom Tov. It's true, it's Bidei Shemayim, but that's part of the whole theory of Rabbah. Even Bidei Shemayim is considered the Hachana. So it come out, right, that that's the second answer. No, V'od Yesh Lomar Dekevan Dim Nolda B'Yom Tov Reizu Asura Im Nomar Kesha Nolda B'Shabbos. That's the answer. He has it the other way around. Right, Tosfos has it the other way around. That if it was born on Shabbos, let's take the 2-day Yontif and then Shabbos, right? The answer I'm giving you is the Rashba. Should we put this off? Should we come back to this another time? Just wanted to get the pshat straight, right? All right. I know that wasn't what I told you to focus on today. So let's huh? But you got the basic gist of it.
Yeah.
No, my answer was the Rashba's answer. I was giving you the Rashba's answer. Tosfos gives a different answer. Tosfos gives a different answer. He says like this. Both answers are different. Tosfos' answers are different. Maybe we'll come back to Tosfos. Tosfos' second answer is like this. You hear? You want to just hear what he's saying? He says, he's talking about a case of which? Which comes first, Shabbos or Yom Tov? Shabbos is first, right? That's the Gemara's case. Ready? Listen to this. So it's a certain, like an inverted way of thinking. You gotta think in a certain funny way. It says like this. Now you have a Shabbos and then a Yom Tov. Zipnik, you weren't with us this whole time, so for you it might be a little hard to follow. You've done this before, perfect. So if you have a Shabbos and then a Yom Tov, is that right? Is that the case?
Yep.
Okay. Now let's say it's born on Yom Tov. Aser, right? That's Vaday Aser, right? Oh. So now, if it's born on Shabbos, it's going to be good, right? Right? Oh, but then it turns out that the Leida of Shabbos is helping you. Then it would turn out being born on Shabbos is halachana. No, it's because being born on Shabbos is getting you something that you couldn't get on Yom Tov. Because if it was born, he's not using the Rabbanan. No, he's not using the fact that there's an Issa Rabbanan. He's saying like this. Ready? Listen. The cave on dim nolda be Yom Tov rezu asura. Why? Because that's the classic case. That's Shabbos Yom Tov. Right? So if I have a Beitza born on Yom Tov that follows a Shabbos, so that's Vadai, the Shabbos is Mechon Yom Tov. That would definitely be an Issa. Right? So now it's like this. Im nomar kishanolda b'Shabbos arei hi muteres bishvil osa leida de Shabbos. So now if I say, but if it was, I'm lucky that this egg was not born today. Right? I've got my egg on Yom Tov. And I say, I'm lucky this egg wasn't born today. Because if it was born today, I definitely couldn't have it, right? So it turns out that the fact that its early birth is what makes it mutter for me today. Because its early birth avoids the Isser of Hachana. Right? But you cannot avoid Hachana. That's the problem. The avoidance of Hachana is Hachana. Right?
Because
now you're using Shabbos to avoid Hachana. Oh, then it comes out that HaShabbos is what made it mutter. Then it comes out that the late on Shabbos is what made it mutter. That's Hachana. Well, that's a good question. So then according to that, it's the Rabbanan is what prevents you from eating it on Shabbos itself. Right, but he holds you don't need that the Rabbanan. It's not that the Rabbanan that makes it a hachana for Yantif. It's the fact that its non-birth on Yom Tov is what made it mutter, and that non-birth was on Shabbos. The non-birth on Yom Tov was on Shabbos. So then it comes out the Shabbos is the thing that's making. See, the Rashba is simpler, right? The Rashba learns it much simpler. So the Achronim go through. There are other cases. There are a few other cases that they want to work out like this with this kind of a logic. All right, we'll come back to this issue. We'll come back to this issue. Bli neder. But let's take up the main question that we're focusing on for today. So the Gemara is saying like this, that what? That I can prove to you that Rav definitely holds Hachana de Rabba. How? Since he does not hold from Kedusha Achas, so there's no reason in terms of Mukta or Gzeiros of Mashkin or Gzeiros of Peros that the Beitza Shenolda B'Shabbos should be Asur B'Yom Tov. So it must be Hachana. Exactly how the Hachana works out, that's something that the Rishonim talk about. But that's the only thing that it could possibly be, is Hachana. Okay? So Tosis is bothered by a problem. What's Tosis' problem? Lema dekasova shtei kedushos ein. Why can't you say he really does hold from shtei kedushos, right? Ela hatam havimigu diskatsoi lebin hashmashos. And really, he's learning like who? Right? He'd be learning like Rav Nachman. Right? Well, like anyone. Right? He could be learning like Rav Nachman, like Rav Yosef, or like Rav Yitzchak. Right? As long as the first day it was, even let's say it was Mayim, let's say it's because of Mashin Shazavu. So the first day is Shabbos. So the Beitz is Asura on Shabbos. Now, how long on Shabbos is Asura for? The whole day. The whole day. Right? The whole day is going to include what? The Bein HaShemashos. Oh, so then when the next day starts, happens to also start at Bein HaShemashos. Right? So it's going to come out that on the next day, at the beginning of the day, during Bein HaShemashos, this Beitza was Asura. So why can't it be simply that Rav holds Migu diskatsoy lebein HaShemashos diskatsoy lekol yoma? Because maybe Rav holds two Kedushos, right? But two Kedushos shares one Bein HaShemashos, that's the catch. two kedushos share one banish marshus, which is the end of the first day and the beginning of the next day. Now we have a principle of migu diskatzoy le banish marshus, katzoy le kol yoma. The thing has to only be usher during banish marshus to be usher for the whole next day. So it's going to come out that whatever the reason for the beitza shenolda being asura, it's going to be asura for the banish marshus of the next day. So maybe that's the reason that Nolda B'Shabbos is Asur B'Yom Tov. It has nothing to do with the Chachon of the Rava. Right? Sharp question. Right? You got the question, Stauber? Is he nodding agreeingly?
He's got a silhouette.
Okay, so what's his answer?
Sure.
What's his answer? Go ahead. Ah, so he has a very sharp answer. What? When we say migu diskatzur the benash mashos diskatzur the kol yoma, that's not what. That's what.
Only for previous day.
That's only when the iser of the benash mashos was because of the coming day. Because of the banish mushrooms of the coming day. Right? But if it's only because of the banish mushrooms of the day that passed, then we don't project forward a shame of mukta for the whole following day. Sounds good. Sounds good. Did dafka lahaboam rinan? Hachi, you going banish mushrooms to tchilas yom tov? Or banish mushrooms to Shabbos? Deshema Shabbosu? Right? The only reason... So what would you say? What? How do you understand this? How do you understand this answer? Before we get to the further complications, how do you understand this answer? Yeah? Go ahead. Well, let's just clarify. Let's just clarify the point, though. In other words, it comes out, though, that during the Beinah Shmashos of the next day, right? The Beinah Shmashos of the Shabbos Yontif. So during the Beinah Shmashos of Yontif, the whole Beinah Shmashos of Yontif, this object is untouchable or unusable, whether it's tiltal or achila. This object is huktzah for the entire banish mashos. I mean, lamaisa, you cannot use it for the entire banish mashos. Go ahead.
It's like saying,
so we have a half mina maskana here. That's always good. All right. So the Havamina, the guys want to say is what that. Now, what do we mean by migu diskatzur the banish marshos, katzur the kol yoma? It just goes by the practical niyug of the practical niyug. Lemaisa, during this banish marshos, you cannot use the object. So that's koveya. The way you know is the way you are noeg with the heftza. I'm just adding a little bit now. The way you're noeg with the heftza. When Shabbos begins, that's koveya, the niug for the whole yom. So it doesn't matter if the reason is because of a suffix yom tov. The fact of the matter is, the potential of its use when Beinah Shmashos begins, which is how you have to relate to Tchila Shabbos. You relate to Tchila Shabbos through Beinah Shmashos. It's very nice as a suffix. But in terms of your das and your cheftzos, Tchilas Shabbos is at Banish Mashos. So Lemaisa, you're no egg with this as something that's not Roy for Tashmish during Banish Mashos. So then it's not Roy for the entire Shabbos. Okay, that's the it was a Yontif and then the Shabbos? Whatever it is. The case of Shabbos Yontif? Okay. Doesn't matter. Rash says it doesn't matter. Okay, that's the Havamina. All right, so Chaim's maskana is what? That it needs a little clarification, I think. But you're saying that in reality, it's either Shabbos or Yontif. They switch off at one point, right? They switch off at one point, and it can't be that it's not possible that when Shabbos. What's our convention? Shabbos is first or Yontif is first?
Shabbos
is first? For some reason, I don't like that. I don't know why. Because you were mixing me up, right? So, if it cannot be that when Yontif starts, it really has any muktzah. It's not possible. In reality, it's not possible to really be muktzah when Yontif starts, right? Well, that's the only muktzah, right? It can't really be muktzah when Yontif starts, because Shabbos is the only reason for it being muktzah, right? Now, what's the reason for it being muktzah? The reason for it being muktzah is Shabbos, right? So it cannot be that when Yontif actually starts, it starts with the muktzah of Shabbos. It's not possible, because the minute Yontif starts, there's no more Shabbos. And if there's no more Shabbos, in reality, there's no way that this object could start Yontif with a Shem Muktzah. That's an impossibility. Okay, that's definitely, I think, a fact. Right? You going to contest that?
And Migu
Diskatzoy is defining things at Tchilas Yomtov. So then it becomes a bit of a question to you. You're saying it's somewhat a question of, is it the true Tchilas Yom Tov or the apparent Tchilas Yom Tov? No? No, that's just Havmi Maskana now.
I would have said that Havmi is more like the Nihog act.
Well, that's based on the apparent, because we don't know. We have to, is it how we treat the beginning of Shabbos and Yontif, or is it the actuality of the Shabbos and Yontif? Okay, now we have two more coming up. Go ahead. Let me just say what they're saying. Okay, so the other possibility is like this, that it's not, that what does it mean, Migu Diskatsor, the Vinishmash Diskatsor, the Kol Yoma? So let's take a case that we can sink our teeth into and analyze what we mean by it. So what's a case that everybody agrees by? Well, let's say at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? So you have, the candle burning at Bein HaShemeshes, right? The candle burning at Bein HaShemeshes. So even though it's going to go out later, it's going to go out in a few hours, since it was Muksa Bein HaShemeshes, why was it Muksa Bein HaShemeshes? Because of the kibbuy, let's say, right? Because you'll extinguish it. So Issa Shabbos makes it unusable. So since it's Aser Bein HaShemeshes, it's Aser for the entire day, right? But they're saying it means like this. It means that what does it mean that it's Aser Bein HaShemeshes? It means to say that Bein HaShemeshes is when your koveya, its relationship, the way it relates to the day that's coming, right? So if there's something intrinsic to the coming day that removes it from that day, right, that's a muktzah. Because it just has to be removed. It has to have a shame of mufka from Shabbos when Shabbos starts. It has to have an identity within the framework of Shabbos itself that precludes it from Shabbos. It has to have a Shabbos Isser to remove it from Shabbos. So if it comes into the day as a candle burning bright on Shabbos, right, and that makes it, in terms of Shabbos itself, there's a removal because of the Isser Kibbuy, so then we say that makes it removed from the Shabbos Lagamri. Okay. But the idea over here is that it has a shame of Keneged Shabbos. It enters Shabbos Keneged Shabbos. You understand? That's what removes it from Shabbos. It's the shame of the Shabbos. It's the shame of the antithesis of Shabbos, or the removal from Shabbos that removes it. And when does it attain the shame Lagavi Shabbos? It attains its shame Lagavi Shabbos at Tchilas Shabbos. That's Migu Diskatzoy. So any shame of that Keneged Tashmashel Shabbos that it attains during Bein HaShemeshes is a permanent shame. But they're saying like this, but this Haktzah, this Isser Tiltel, even when Shabbos starts, is not Shayach to the Yom of Shabbos. It's not a Shabbos Isser. It's not a Shabbos identity that's preventing the use. On the contrary, it's because of its remnant of the day before that prevents its use. So, in other words, to rephrase the statement, you have migu diskatzol ben shmoshes. They're saying it means like this: any shemos shel Shabbos that are in existence when Shabbos begins are permanent. But you can't call a haktzah that's midin, maybe it's yesterday, as a shame of Shabbos at all. The shame, right, that can't be considered to be a shame of an isser that's stemming from the yom. Has to be that vis-a-vis the yom, this thing is mufka. Because of qualities and identities in the yom itself. But that's only in the yom l'haba. But something that comes from the yom l'shavar, that has nothing to do with defining and solidifying its characteristics. Gabi the yom l'haba. It's not just anything that you can't use Bein HaShemashos can't be used for the rest of the day. It means during Bein HaShemashos is when we're koveya the shemos that pertain to the coming day. Yeah, Mayor. How is that different? Right, so even the lemaisa you couldn't use it during Bein HaShemashos. But that never was koveya. There was never, that was just a practical thing. You couldn't use it. It never had in it a shame of a relation. That didn't. Let's put it this way: when we say migu diskatzol ben shmashkatzol b'kul yoma, that's usually true. Why? Because it usually reveals. It's usually a test of how the thing is intrinsically related to Shabbos. Right? But that's what we really want to investigate when we're looking at the Bein HaShemashos. We want to know, how does this object relate to the Yom of Shabbos? So we say, since, and from its very beginning, from the very beginning of the Yom of Shabbos. So, but that's only going to be true if the Isurim of the Bein HaShemashos are stemming from Shabbos. But if the Isurim are stemming from elsewhere, right, from the prior day, then the way we treat it, Bein HaShemashos, doesn't reveal how it is related to the Yom Shabbos, right? In terms of its identities of Kedusha Shabbos and Isser Malacha.
Looking at Mufka from Shabbos as a shame, yeah, not just like a non-relationship.
Yeah. Based on its incompatibility with the, an intrinsic incompatibility with the Yom of Shabbos. Now it has to be that during Bein HaShemashos it shows you that this Cheftza vis-a-vis Shabbos is an incommensurate. But that's normally going to be true because there's no other cause other than the Tchila of Shabbos. But during the Bein HaShemashos of a yesterday being Yontif and tomorrow being a Shabbos, it has a legacy issue. It's only usher because of past, because it's escaping its past. But that doesn't have anything to do with the object as a cheftza and its capabilities with regards to Shabbos. Now, is the difference between the first answer and the second answer is the first answer is maintaining the framework of the Havamina, right? In terms of that anything that would be usher when Shabbos starts, for whatever reason, would be usher for the whole Shabbos. The only thing is, there's a practical reason here why, in reality, it's not usher when Shabbos starts. Right? The second answer is saying, it's not a matter of Shabbos starting, Shabbos not starting, it's a matter of that when if something is usher when Shabbos, the significance of being usher when Shabbos starts has to do with revealing the way it is vis-a-vis the day. It's revealing a relationship, a type of a relationship of incompatibility. But that's only revealed on a normal Bein HaShemashos. That's only true when the Yisurim of the Bein HaShemashos come from the Shem Shabbos. But if they're coming from the Shem of Yontif, then it has nothing to do with that. It's good. Okay, so this works out well, except for one problem. This works out well, except for one problem, right? And what is that? Problem is a chefta shel mitzvah is the problem. Problem is the chefta shel mitzvah. Right? Because the Gemara says that the Sukkah will be usur, the Sukkah will be muktzer on Shmini. Okay? The Sukkah will be muktzer on Shmini. And Gemara says, why will it be muktzer on Shmini? Because it was muktzer the whole Bein HaShmashos of Shvi. Okay, let's Tosis talks in terms of Yom Tov Sheni and Sfeika Diyoma because he has a chi. Just forget about the chi. The Gemara never mentions chi. The Gemara really just talks about Shvi and Shmini. Forget about the chi. Okay. But basically, it comes out like this. According to the Gemara, the problem is like this. The Gemara says, why is this Sukkah Asur on Shmini? Why? Shmini is not the Sukkahs anymore. All right, let's talk about the Noi Sukkah. Okay, because the Heftz of the Sukkah is going to be a problem because of Stiras Ohel. Right? Can't take down the Sukkah on Yontif. It's a Stira. But what about the Noi Sukkah? The Noi Sukkah should not be a problem. Right? So the Gemara says, why is the noi sukkah asur on it comes out, why is the noi sukkah asur until the end of Yontif, until the end of Shmini Atzeres, until the end of Chag HaShmini? Why? Because it was asur kol bein hashmashos shel shvi'i. Aye, but that's just a muktzah yom shavar, not yom l'haba. So the Satosis is stuck with that problem. Why do we say by the case of the Sukkah that even though it's L'sha'ovar, it still is Muktzah on the following day? Even though it's only a banish mush L'sha'ovar, it still is Muktzah on the following day. Now, one more complicated factor is that the Gemara says that it's not the case by the Lulav. Right? Even though they're both Cheftzah Yishal Mitzvah. This Tosis just says Cheftzah Yishal Mitzvah is different. Right? He just basically says Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah is different. But that's why I showed you the Tosis a rush. Because just Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah is not enough. Because the Lulav is Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah, and we don't say that.
When is the Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah?
The whole day.
You have an
expression?
Wait,
it is
Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah? No, it's not. It's not. Didn't the verse say it's not?
Lulav is Muktzah.
It's a complicated. That's where it gets a little complicated. That's a little bit complicated. Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara over there, Rabbi Yochanan Menvav says the lulav is asa kol hayom. The lulav is muktzah kol hayom. Even though you were yotzei the mitzvah, because it was taksa for the whole day. Rish Lakish says once you do the mitzvah, you can use it, or you can eat it, whatever it is. That's for. We take a look over there.
So,
no, it seems to me like, no, huh?
So I don't know. Isn't the eighth day also supposed? Somebody was mentioning that suffix. Isn't the eighth day also a suffix? Oh, is it?
That's what I'm saying. Forget about the eighth day. That's a complication. No, it's Bismana Zeh in Golus. So we have the eighth day is also because it's Sfeika D'Yoma, because we have to sit in the sukkah on the eighth day too, right? So then this whole thing just gets transposed to Shmini, to the Erev Bein HaShmashos of Shmini into Tshi. It's the same thing. Why should it be usher on Tashi? We hold Bisman Azen in Shnei Yantav, you have two Yantavs, Yantav Shein Shel Golias, so then you're going to have the problem's going to be pushed from Shmini to Tashi. But if you just take the straight case, it's simpler. That on, imagine it's Eretz Yisrael. So Shmini, they're not going to sit in the Sukkah anymore. Right? So we say the Estrog on Shmini would be Mutter, but the Noi Sukkah is usher. Right? Why? Because you're not going to take. Why? Right, so you got to take a look at that Gemara over there. So Gemara says, why? What does Gemara say? That's right. See, Tosa doesn't go into that over here, right? But he just says it's because it's mitzvah. Muktzah machmas mitzvah. Right. But they said, oh, hocha muktzah machmas iser lo amir nafik.
He why doesn't even make that distinction.
Yeah, it's not a matter of mitzvah versus iser.
Right.
Not really a matter of mitzvah it's versus iser.
Just particular to that case.
Well, it's not clear. Now, let's take a look. You see the Rashba? See, the Rashba says it's just because it's mitzvah. They were machmir and a chefta shel mitzvah. Right? The muksa machmas mitzvah they were machmir on. So he's going to have to learn, like Chaim is saying over there, that really the es the lulav is not muksa at all during Banish Marshals. But Tosis doesn't seem to learn that way. It's a different thing. It's a different thing. It's because you're going to have to sit in the sukkah during Banish Marshals that makes a difference. All right, take a look at the Tosis over there.